If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, you might turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll be ready for our first passage this morning. I thank the elders for asking me to come and be with you for these 3 days. We're talking about the church and the glory that can come to God through the church. I like the topic, and I hope that as we discuss it these 3 days, that it'll help us all to appreciate the church of our Lord that much more. I always enjoy coming to Prepmont. I appreciate you as a group. I have for a long, long time. Glad Foy and Janice can be with us this morning. They used to be a part of you. Poor things. They got to listen to me. What's that? In April, I think it is. And up where they worship. And I look forward to being with them at that time. Some of the old timers will remember Jim Baker. Jim Baker was a televangelist of some note. People all around knew him. He fell into adultery. And Jimmy Swaggart said of Jim Baker, he is a cancer that ought to be cut out of the body of Christ. That was repeated again and again and again in newspapers, over television. Jim Baker is a cancer that ought to be cut out of the body of Christ. And when Jimmy Swaggart said that, and I read that, I thought, what is his concept of the body of Christ? And so what I want us to do in the very beginning of our studies is to make sure we have a distinction between the body of Christ and the local church. Let's talk first of all about the body of Christ. The body of Christ is simply Christ's church. I had you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. But what is the church? The church is people. Let's just start right there. The church is people. We need not think of the church as some kind of an institution separate and apart from the people. It is simply the people. What kind of people? Saved people. Wherever they live, whenever they live. Sometimes I think we are too limited in our definition of the church. We might say, well, it's all the Christians of all the world. No, that's too limited. It's all the Christians of all the world of all ages. Death does not remove a person from the Lord's church. So that when I became a Christian, I became a part of a body of people that includes Paul and Peter and Lydia and Dorcas and Aquila and Priscilla and Barnabas, and how many could we name? It includes the faithful that I've known in my lifetime who have passed on. And it includes the faithful who are still alive. And all of us together make up the one body of Jesus Christ. To put it another way, the Lord doesn't have 21 different churches. One church made up of all the Christians of the first century, and a second church made up of all the Christians of the second century, and here we are in the 21st Church of Christ. You know better than that. How many bodies are there? There's one body, and it includes all of God's faithful people. It is those people whom God approves. It's those who have their names in the book of life. The Bible teaches that there is a record kept in heaven by the Lord, and it has the names of all of those who are faithful. Let's turn and look at that. I'm turning, first of all, to Luke chapter 10. In Luke 10, Jesus had sent out his 70, And they had come back, and they were rejoicing because the demons were subject to them. But look at verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Verses 2 and 3 of Philippians chapter 4. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So here are people who are living, and their names are in the book of life. Let's fast forward, go on to the book of Revelation. I want to go to chapter 20. Look at verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look at chapter 21, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the book of life. So if you're a faithful Christian today, your name is in the book of life. If you're not a faithful Christian, your name is not in the book of life. It's just that simple. And if your name is in the book of life, when you come to the judgment, you're going to go to heaven. If it's not in the book of life, you're going to go to hell. It's just that simple. What then is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is Christ's church, made up of God's people, saved of all times, of all places, those who have their names in the book of life. That's the Lord's church. Now, what about a local church? Well, a local church is just a group of Christians who happen to live at the same time, in the same place, who have agreed to work and worship together under the oversight of elders, served by deacons, doing the things which the Lord has authorized His church to do. So we read about the church at Thessalonica, the seven churches of Asia, the church of Jerusalem. What is the Pratmont Church of Christ? You're a group of Christians. You all live in 2019. You live in reasonable distance of one another. You've agreed to work and worship together. You have four elders who provide the oversight. You have men who are deacons who serve under the elders, and you do the things which you can find authorized in the Scriptures. There's the local church and the body of Christ. Now, having defined those, there's certain observations we need to make. Men determine, to a great degree, the makeup of the local church. The Lord determines the makeup of the body of Christ. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Most of us would be familiar with that verse, Acts 2, verse 47. And let me say that if somebody's name is going to be taken out of the book of life, the Lord's going to take it out, not Jimmy Swaggart or Bill Hall or anybody else. It's the Lord who will determine that. In fact, are you still in the book of Revelation? Go to chapter 3. In writing to the church at Sardis, look at verse 5 of Revelation chapter 3. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will not blot his name. Now, that suggests that if a person does not overcome, his name will be blotted out. But the point is, who's going to do the blotting? It'll be the Lord, and not Jimmy Swaggart. So, your name is in the book of life. You're a faithful Christian. Then the Lord counts you as a part of His body, and if you're ever to be blotted out, it'll be the Lord who'll do that. The Lord takes care of the body of Christ. But men have to determine to some degree who makes up the local church. The churches of the New Testament exercise the right to either receive people into their number or not receive them, not based on their personality, not based on the color of their skin, but based upon whether or not they show themselves to be truly Christians, worthy of the fellowship of the local church. Turn to Acts chapter 9. I'm looking at verse 26. Now, Saul of Tarsus had been converted. He had been converted in Damascus. He now comes back to Jerusalem, and they were about to refuse him. Look at verse 26 beginning. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. They were about to refuse him. They were not convinced that he was genuine. But when Barnabas took him and convinced them Saul of Tarsus is genuine, then they received him, and he was with them, going in and going out. Maybe a better illustration. Go with me to the 18th chapter of Acts. Apollos had come, or had been in Ephesus, had been teaching the baptism of John, you remember that. Aquila and Priscilla had taken him aside and taught him the word of the Lord more perfectly. Now look at verse 27. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. They wrote, urging the disciples to receive him. But doesn't that imply they might not have received him? Someone comes to the Pratmont Church, and they say, I want to become a part of the Pratmont Church. The elders of this church have every right to talk to that man, to find out what the evidence is that he is a Christian, that he's faithful to the Lord, and they have every right to either receive that person into the membership of the Pratmont Church or to refuse. That right they have. But now we need to make this point. The decisions as to the acceptance of a person in the local church does not necessarily reflect what's happening in the body of Christ. Do we follow that? Men are fallible. The Lord is infallible. Consequently, somebody might be received in the Pratmont Church that the Lord does not receive in the body of Christ. Somebody might be refused. I don't think you would ever intentionally do this, but somebody might be refused in the Pratmont Church, but is accepted in the body of Christ. And we have illustrations of that in the Bible. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. The problem being discussed in the book of Galatians has to do with whether the Gentiles had to be circumcised or not. And we call those Judaizing teachers who thought that the Gentiles had to be circumcised. Now look at verse 4. Where did these men come from? And this occurred because of false brethren, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Every indication is that these never were true Christians. They came in by stealth. They were false brethren. Evidently, they were received in local churches, but they were never a part of the body of Christ because they were not genuine. Turn to 3 John. In 3 John, there were people who were traveling, going to work among the Gentiles. And there was a man named Diotrephes who would not receive these who were traveling. Look at verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Let me ask you a question. Could Diotrephes put people out of the body of Christ? Of course not. He could put them out of the local church, but here are people being put out of the local church by Diotrephes, but the Lord accepts them. So do you see the difference between the body of Christ and the local church? The body of Christ simply being God's people, and the Lord knows those who are His. The local church being a group like the Pratmont Church. The Pratmont Church has a right to accept or not accept somebody who may come and want to be a member, but the actions of the Pratmont Church do not necessarily reflect the actions of the Lord in the body of Christ. Let me make this point with you. You can flatter people into the local church. You can't flatter people into the body of Christ. For instance, somebody begins to attend services and we go to him and say, "Oh, we need you. You know, you're just so friendly and you'd be wonderful in our personal work program and you're a good singer. You could make a good song leader. Why don't you?" And the first thing you know, he's so flattered by all that, he decides to become a member. That doesn't bring him into the body of Christ. You can socialize people into the local church. You can't socialize people into the body of Christ. And so people begin to come and we just put our arms around them, and we should be friendly. Don't misunderstand me. We should be friendly. And we may invite them in and do all kinds of things for them. But you can't socialize people into the body of Christ. The only people who can come into the body of Christ are people who realize their sin in their life. They repent of their sins. They obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're saved from their sin. And that's what brings them into the body of Christ. And we don't need to somehow beat around the bush with people and try to dodge the fact that they're sinners. We have to bring them to understand they're in sin and what they need to do to be saved in order for them to truly be a part of the body of Christ. Now let me make this point with you. Baptism is into the body of Christ. It is not into any local church. I'll tell you where that first came to me as a part of something along this line. Back when I was preaching in Florence, Alabama, just as the service was about to begin, 4 girls came in from University of North Alabama. When the invitation was extended, one of them came forward. I had no idea who she was. She said, "My name is Paula Waters." I'm sorry, Paula Harper at that time. She's now Paula Waters. I knew who she was because the man whom she eventually married had called me and told me about her. Well, we sat there on the front. It seemed like forever. I knew she was confused about something. I said, "Paula, let's do this. Let's go ahead and have a dismissal. And then we'll talk private." Well, that suited her, and I told the group what we were going to do, and we had the closing prayer. You know what her problem was? She was afraid that if she was baptized at a service of the Hilton Drive Church, and I baptized her in the baptistry of the Helsing Drive Church, that automatically would make her a member of the Helsing Drive Church. And she didn't want to be a member of the Helsing Drive Church. She went home almost always on weekends down to Cullman, and she wanted to be a member of the Baldwin Church instead of the Helsing Drive Church. Guess what I did? I drew that out for her. And I well remember, big old tears came in her eyes, and she said, "I'm not saved. I'm not part of the body of Christ. My name is not written in heaven." I said, "I think we can do something about that." We went to the Helsing Drive building. I baptized her. And then on the next Sunday, she went to Cullman, to the Baldwin Church, and asked to be received. You see, her baptism was not into the Helsing Drive Church. Her baptism was not into the Baldwin Church. Her baptism was into Christ. Her baptism was into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." So baptism brings you into the body of Christ. It's the point at which you're saved. And then there's a second step in which you ask to be received into the local church. Now, so often, somebody's been attending for so long that it's just kind of automatically assumed that they will be a part of that local church, but their baptism is not into the local church. Their baptism is into the body of Christ, and we need to understand that point. I think a lot of times when we try to teach people, let's just say somebody's a member of some denomination, and we try to teach them that what they think we're trying to do is get them out of their denomination and get them into our denomination. That's the thinking. You know what? We need to make sure they understand. We're not trying to get you out of one denomination into another. We're concerned about whether you're part of the body of Christ or not. Why would we be concerned whether they're part of the body of Christ or not? Because of the practices of denominations in regards to baptism. Some don't even baptize. They just sprinkle water on the person and claim that that's baptism. Well, I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned as to whether they're part of the body of Christ. Others teach you're saved before you're baptized. They're tracts. You ever seen any little tracts about this long? And I should have brought me one. They tell you all about sin. They tell you all about the Savior. They have a lot of good information. But when you get to the end, when they tell you what to do to be saved, they say, "Pray this prayer." And it's a prayer that's not even in the Bible. And then it says, now that you're saved, you need to find a church that will agree to baptize you, and you need to be baptized. Well, I want to tell you something. When people have followed that plan, I'm concerned about their souls. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I'm not trying to get them out of one denomination into another. The Bible speaks of no denomination. I am concerned about their being a part of the body of Christ. And I try to make that clear. But that's where my concern. Now, let me ask you this. What ought to be your major concern today? This is no put-down of the local church. The local church is a part of God's plan. We've already talked about that. And as a Christian, we're to be a part of a local church. We're to be a dependable part of the local church. We're to be people who are responsive and ready to work and do whatever we can as members of the local church. I'm not putting that down for a moment. But you know, the bigger question is my name written in heaven? Is my name in the book of life? Am I a part of the body of Christ? You could have your name written in 400 church directories and never be a part of the body of Christ. And my guess is that there are people sitting here, right here in this audience, whose names are in the directory of the Fremont Church, whose names are not written in heaven. And I suspect that most of you who would be in that category know it. Hypocrisy is a problem. It's a problem pretty much in every church. And sometimes you'll think somebody is just the most faithful Christian in the world. They are at every service. They look like Christians. They talk like Christians. But there's something going on in their life that when it all comes out, it just is amazing to us. I don't know how many times I've seen it happen. Their names were in the church directory, but they weren't living the life of a Christian. And so they were no part of the body of Christ. Their names had been removed by the Lord. Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven. I would enter the fold in the book of thy kingdom with its page white and fair. Tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Turn to Acts chapter 8. In Acts 8, we read of a man riding down the road, going home from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, reading from the book of Isaiah. He's reading a prophecy of Christ, and he doesn't understand it. Philip joins him, preaches to him Jesus. Start with verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Let me ask you a few questions. Was this man a part of the body of Christ? Well, if we can assume he was genuine, and I don't think there's any problem in assuming that, because the Holy Spirit revealed the conversion. Yeah, his name's in the body of Christ. Is he a part of any local church? To our knowledge, he's never even seen a local church. Now, knowing what I know in the Bible, I have no doubt in my mind that once he got down to Ethiopia, he'd begin to share with others what he had learned, and in time there would be a local church. But at this point, do you see that baptism is into the body of Christ, not into a local church? He's not a part of a local church at this point. What denomination is he a part of? There were no denominations. He's simply a Christian. Saved. Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. His name is now written in heaven. He's a part of the body of Christ. And he's on his way rejoicing. The obvious question is, why cannot this man's actions be duplicated in 2019? And a person simply hear the gospel, believe it, repent of his sins. Upon a confession of faith, be baptized. Be baptized for what purpose? To be saved. And to be part of that body of saved people that we've been talking about. And on Tuesday night, if the weather allows, God's will be done. I'm going to talk about what a fellowship. To think about being a part of this marvelous body. What a fellowship. What a joy. And he's a part of it now. And he's on his way rejoicing as a child of God. Hope I've made these points clear. It provides the foundation, I guess I would say, for what we're going to be saying the rest of this series of meetings. But meanwhile, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, this morning would be a great time for you to become a part. I'll step aside. Let's go ahead and get our songbooks. I see movement. Get our songbooks, and then we'll talk to you. If you want to confess your faith this morning and be baptized, I know to most of you, or a major part of you, I'm a stranger. I'll just step aside. Let one of these men take charge. And you can obey the gospel, be saved, become a part of the body of Christ, your name written in heaven, and be a part of this marvelous fellowship that we're going to be talking about Tuesday night. Maybe as I talked, you were saying to yourself, yeah, my name is in the directory of the Pratmont Church, but my name is not written in heaven. You do something about that. There's no use in you going to hell. Christ died for you. He could have called 10,000 angels, 12 legions of angels, that you might not be, that he might die for you, that you might not go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. You can come to Christ. You can come Christ, and before you leave this building, have your name written in heaven. You've listened well. Thank you. And if you're of a mind to give yourself to Jesus Christ the rest of your days, then as we stand and sing,